the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
But now to a couple who have navigated and pivoted through all kinds of storms in life and business. In 2006, Mark and Ciara Walton traded corporate careers in Dublin for a quieter life in Sligo. They set up Voya, a seaweed-based skincare brand. Almost 20 years later, it's a multi-million euro business. Their products are available in over 40 countries and in many of the most luxurious spas in the world. Mark and Ciara join me now. Ciara, as a couple in business, I suppose I should really ask you first how you guys met.
Through a friend. Well, actually, through an ex-boyfriend. Okay, I'll put it that way. Yeah. An ex-boyfriend.
That sounds short, cryptic, as if there's a much bigger story underneath
that. There kind of is, because when I was going out with that said boyfriend, well, it kind of fizzled off, but I kind of was still holding kind of a flame for him. Or a torch, not even a torch, it was a candlelight.
It was a match.
That was it, yeah. And one of the evenings, I met up with him and his friends, a.k.a. Mark.
And I remember being struck by, she was a beautiful but very interesting woman. And then I saw my mate go over, walking up to her, and I was just like, but, you know, bro code and all that sort of stuff, you know, they were a couple, that was it. So I was like, you know, completely off limits.
The bro code is only a rough guide. It's not really a rule book, is it?
Yeah.
At the time, you were both living in Dublin, but you had grown up, Ciara, in the Bahamas.
I had, like, part of my childhood was in the Bahamas. Like, I made my communion in the Bahamas. My dad worked in the aviation business, so that's why it took our lives down to the Bahamas. He worked in Bahamas Air.
And you would have been a teenager coming back to Ireland. Was that a difficult time?
We came back to Ireland and then we went away again down to the Netherlands and Chiles when I was a teenager. I was a tweenie, so to speak, as they call it now. I would have spent another 3 years down in Curaçao, on the island of Curaçao.
It sounds warm, exotic and beautiful.
Very much so. And I always enjoy...
Like Sligo on a wet Tuesday in November.
Oh my gosh, yes, I love it. It gave me a passion for, you know, being by the beach, a coast, swimming. I loved swimming.
And that's something that has stayed with you then.
Yeah.
And Mark, you were born and reared in Strandhill. The family were from there. The family had a connection with the sea through a seaweed baths business.
Yeah, my brother and my father set up the seaweed baths in the late 90s as such. There was seaweed baths on the west coast of Ireland. There has been for hundreds of years. But the last seaweed baths closed down, I think, in the early 60s. And my brother and my dad, they reopened the seaweed baths in the early 90s. And it's been obviously a huge success. But, like, you know, we're water babies. Like, I spend, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours a week at least in the sea every week all year round, whether it's surfing, swimming, paddling, fishing, whatever. Just love the ocean. So it's obvious connection to make a business out of it.
And from a career point of view, before the business came along, you were living in Dublin and that's when you met Ciara. What kind of work were you doing?
I was working for a company called J. Rothschild, Nascent. They were a funds company. I was a business strategist working for them at the time. I was a kind of Jim LaFixit guy, so if they were launching funds and stuff like that, I would work in a project management capacity to speak with the marketing team, the funds team, the IT team, the actuaries, and just getting products on the market. And it was a great experience. I loved it for a period of time, and obviously I got to meet Ciara, but then I was made redundant, I think, about 3 years into it in the early 2000s, early noughties, such.
And Ciara, you had studied marketing and you were working in Dublin in that area and in the educational area.
Yes, I went to the College of Marketing and Design, and like my major was illustration. So it was more design orientated that my focus was. And I basically graduated as an illustrator. So I started out as an illustrator and then soon realized that it's very hard to be an illustrator in Ireland.
But if you have that visual eye,
yes,
you can apply it to all kinds of things.
And then I actually went into educational software as a graphic design.
So you had your get together, you started going out, you're both in different careers in Dublin. Mark, how did the idea of the business come about?
I'd love to tell you that there's a great plan. Amazing idea. But we really just found ourselves on the West Coast. We both were redundant at that stage. We were looking for a career. We didn't have anything available to us. We knew the seaweed bats at the time were trying to source certified organic seaweed-based products. There was organic products, but they weren't seaweed-based. And there was seaweed products, but they weren't organic. And I should say my father was one of the founders of the organic movement in Ireland. He was one of the original board directors of the Organic Trust. So organic was very important to us. It was in our DNA. So we were looking just to source them. We couldn't find any. So we just decided that we'll try and make them ourselves. And really, we had no plans outside of just supplying to CB Bats and just taking it from there. But obviously, very quickly, it blew up.
But was it in the context of, did you want to get out of Dublin, get out of a city, get back home, and the business was a vehicle to do that? Or you had the idea for the business and you thought, well, the best place to do it is in Strandhill.
I think we wanted,
when we met, you were made redundant. I took self-redundancy and we were at this
crossroads.
We were girlfriend, boyfriend, and we were hanging out together and we're like, you had taken another job. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to me, Mark had taken a job for 6 months. Which Mark hated. And in hindsight, as I look back, I was like, Mark has taken this job to be in Dublin with me, which is very beautiful, very loving. And I think it was after that 6 months.
I wasn't letting her go.
I said to Mark, I think you should go back to the west of Ireland, find yourself a good Catholic girl from the west of Ireland. Maybe it'll work out, better for you like that.
But that sounds like a make or break moment there.
it's reverse psychology 101.
Mark
You knew, Ciara, that he had an inkling to go back to Sligo. You were mulling over a business idea. And then for you, Mark, was it difficult to convince Ciara?
It wasn't until she came to Sligo. Yeah. That was the moment,
I think to answer your initial question about how did this idea come up? We always had this, we always would chat at night, like, what would we do? Like, we could open up a restaurant. Mark, you're a really good cook, because every Saturday he'd cook me beautiful breakfast in the morning. And seafood always we always went out to dinner for seafood and we loved our food. So I think in hindsight, we had it in our DNA between us, or our energy between us, that we could do something together.
So starting off the business then, you need a product and you need customers. How difficult was it to get both?
Well, I think what I will say is that at the time, the whole organic space and cosmetics was just evolving and we were at the forefront of that. I think we were the first brand in the world to have certified organic seaweed-based products. We worked with the Soil Association, the Organic Trust, to actually develop organic standards. So we were at that space. Now, we had no ideas in business. And it's funny because now we speak to people and, help them with their business as they're starting up. And the first thing we said was we hadn't a clue what we were doing and we made so many horrendous mistakes. But, we made more right decisions and wrong decisions, and we evolved and we quickly pivoted.
When you say you made some mistakes, like what? What kind of things went wrong?
I mean, we shipped we had no money, remember. So we started this business with a credit card and we shipped 2 pallets to America and it didn't have any US weights and measurements. And the products ended up getting held in New York for 3 months at $500 per week charge for us, and then had to pay for the ship back bond and all that sort of stuff. It nearly bankrupted us. That decision mistake alone, just at the start of the business, we made so many mistakes, but we were very adventurous. When I look back now, if we had an opportunity for a market, we just went for it. And, we figured it out as we went along. I mean, we got so many stories over the years now where we go so people would call us from different parts of the world and we're like, oh yeah, no problem. We can supply into that market. And then we had no idea how we can get the product in there, but we'll figure it out by the time we have to meet that person, say in 2 weeks. And we did.
Supply that market and then we're going to Google where exactly is.
I'm not joking.
You're not the first.
I think it would have been really easy for us to, for our strategy to go into every pharmacy, around Ireland and UK, But we set out a strategy that, we want to go a little bit. We want to have a different strategy here. We want to go into the spa market. We want to go high end. And like, it was really crazy when you think about it.
There's an interesting contrast there, Ciara, between starting up the business with a credit card and no money and going after the high-end luxury world market.
I know, we have, there is.
We're like, we didn't make a profit for so long, though. We didn't get paid for so long.
That, you're correct in saying, let's Google that. Because we did Google, we did Google all these hotels, etc. Like, literally, I remember at the very beginning stages, putting together a hamper of goods, of Voya products, into a box full of chips and sending it off to the one hotel, I don't know where in the world.
Probably Burj Al Arab or Berkeley in London
The one, quote unquote, hotel, and hoping for the best, you know. And we did that and we did get responses back.
Did you end up traveling a lot to go and see these places? Lot of very beautiful places and beautiful spas. But you're thinking of them as potential customers and it's work.
Yeah, we the first, I don't know, 10 years of our life is a blur because we just live on an airplane. It's funny and sad at the same time because we can, you know, with those competitions where people say, how many countries have you visited? We always win them. But we can tell you nothing about them because we just got in and got out and it was all about making money in a very crude sense. And we had this motto that we never get back on the plane unless we've paid for the ticket.
Having grown the business during the sort of Celtic Tiger years and the noughties, the crash came along. Mm. How difficult was that?
It was disastrous in Ireland.
Yeah, and at the time we had a US distributor as well, and I wouldn't take no for an answer from them. And I was like, that just because there's a recession, there is no, why is this happening? There's no, you can't tell me that we're not making sale. Go out there and push it. So I just couldn't, I would not take, you know, these numbers for what they in what was coming back at us.
So you just kept driving.
Yes,
driving.
Yeah.
So. We lived the business though. Like, it was a situation where we ate, slept, you know, the whole lot. And we were lucky that we had different markets already at that stage. So whilst it was collapsing in one market, it might be still okay in another market. So we pivoted very quickly. Again, but the Irish market was particularly bleak. We, you know, lost a lot of money in different places and stuff like that. But we were able to recover it by just changing our focus to different parts of the world.
And then along after that, much more recently, COVID came along. Yeah. You're in spas, hotels, a lot of them closed. That must have been a real shock, was it?
It was very difficult.
Was.
Particularly, I mean, for our own, you know, our colleagues as well, because, you know, people were asking us what's going to happen tomorrow and we had no idea. And again, the business had to pivot very quickly. I mean, and we were, you know, very receptive to our, particularly our Irish customers who were struggling dearly, and we had to be very accommodating, you know, on payment terms and all that sort of stuff because we were all in this boat. But then there was a big shift online, obviously. So as a business, so if you couldn't go to a spa or a retailer to buy a product, you started buying online. Now it's come back again, which is interesting too, you know, but there was very much so we had to get very dynamic in relation to how our focus as a business was. So our business went online very quickly. But, you know, it's funny because, like, whilst Ireland was locked down for maybe 2 years, like, you know, for example, Florida, it never closed its doors.
No.
Maybe a month. You know, other parts of the world were still open for business. China was the last one to open up again, and Hong Kong and stuff.
During the stressful situations, how does it work out between you as a couple? Who's the calmer downer of the other? Is that
I think
you,
Mark,
Ciara?
Is the calmer downer. And then sometimes I think I am. I don't know where the majority.
I think it depends whoever's hurt and the other one steps in.
Yeah, I think Mark, though, does calm down, is a little bit more level-headed than I am. I will kind of. It sounds so fickle to some people, like the look of a tube. But it does matter. And when you have an opinion about something, you will storm out of that office, get into your car and say, I'm going home. And this
not is, home in Sligo, home in Meath.
This is like home on the west coast of Ireland. And I will go, I'm going home. And it's not pretty when all the other staff members see it.
It's like mum and dad are fighting again.
And then Mark comes out, come back. It's okay. We'll think about it. Let's talk about this.
And aside from the business challenges, you've had your own personal challenges. Your dad, Mark, was involved in the business. He sadly passed away.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And it's a shame because, like, you know, he was immensely proud of what we were doing and it was integral in our business, particularly in the startup of it. So, he lived his life and he drank from the cup, you know, and he died very young, 67, a very fit man. It's sad. And Kira's father as well passed away too, and he was instrumental in giving us advice at the start too. And I feel like we'd like them always to be there on the journey and to see every part of this. And I know my dad would be listening to this interview right now and going, oh, yeah, yeah. And he'd give me abuse later on about it, of course. You know.
And Kira, you've had your own health challenges as well.
Oh, well, I would have to say something like this right now, currently, talking to you is not stressful, but like it has its own little pressures, you know. And also knowing that I'll get, you know, a full night's sleep, I should get a full night's sleep, has an impact on my lifestyle because I have epilepsy. But it's something I've lived with my whole entire life, like since I was a child, since I was a baby. And it was brought to light to my mom by our next door neighbor. Our next door neighbor was the village doctor. And he just picked up on it. He saw me, you know, all the kids, playing around. And I was sat on the grass and I just had this wince on my face. And he said, I'd check that out if I was you, Rosemary. And Rosemary's my mom's name. And she did. And I had epilepsy, you know, and it's under control as regards I don't have any seizures during the day, but I have nocturnal epilepsy.
And is that very random or are there triggers at night?
What I would say is when I'm going into my sleep, sometimes it would be triggered. But then again, it can randomly happen in like 3 o'clock in the morning. Could like be thinking about my mom, you know, worrying about my mom or worrying about my sister or Mark or a conversation I've had that day, you know, and it would just have that little pressure. And it's good to get out and have fresh air, get in the water, have a cold dip, which takes your mind off everything.
And all of that helps. Mark, you were saying that you spent so many years, particularly in the early part of the business, on a plane, building it the hard way in many respects. And then you decided that you wanted to have a family, you wanted to have kids, and that wasn't something that was straightforward necessarily for you.
We both did. We were both living on a plane going around the world all the time. And then obviously, I suppose our first baby was Voya. Like, you know, we were pushing that as much as possible and growing it. And you're running all the time. But we did get to a stage where we're like, God, we better sit down here and have a family or get moving on the family sort of thing.
We had to go through the process of IVF to have a beautiful baby boy. I was just absolutely delighted it was a baby boy.
What's his name?
Avery.
Avery.
Yeah, he's going to be 7 late December. Absolutely ecstatic. But it was hard now. We went through a few rounds of IVF. And then we, after having Avery, we tried again, but it wasn't to be. So our blessing was one and done.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's it, yeah. It's brilliant.
And when it comes to where the business is at now, what sort of size or scale, or can you paint a picture of what it looks like?
We're probably going to be around 8 million this year by the end of the year. And we're growing at the rate we want to grow. So we're growing around 10 to 15% year on year every year. We have no external investors in the business, so it's self-funded and we're heavily investing back into the business year on year. So we're spending a lot of money on research and development, a lot in marketing. Obviously, we're building up the team. So we're probably overstaffed right now with the view that we're going to continue to grow at the same sort of rate for the next couple of years. We've no ambition outside of this. We just want to make great products and we love what we're doing and we've got a great customer base.
And you have this quite a new deal with Emirates Airlines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you win a contract with, I don't know, a huge international airline like Emirates? How does that happen?
Slowly and then really fast. Like, it's like a lot of negotiation. And then when it happens, it has to happen fast, really quickly.
So when they came to us with an opportunity, we were able to react extremely quickly and deliver them a product that met the brief, but also met their quality expectations, because they are the leading luxury airline in the world. So it was, don't get me wrong, it was an extremely stressful project, but we have the resources to deliver product and we have the supply chain to get it done.
And what about the future of the business? If someone came along with a large check and said they'd buy it off you, would you sell it?
We get calls every month.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah,
we do. I don't think we would. Like, I mean, people always ask and ask. But if a gun was put to your head, would you? Well, of course, but no.
We do love what we do. We actually genuinely love what we do. We enjoy our jobs. This is not hard work for us. It is hard work.
No, I don't see us.
No.
No.
You're happy to grow the business way you're doing
it. Oh, yeah.
But it's fun.
Well, I hope it wasn't...
No, that's an official no.
I hope it wasn't too difficult or stressful, the interview for you, Ciara.
No,
but thank you so much to Ciara and Mark Walton from Voya. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.